horses.
Hello, horses.
Hey,
what's up?
You come to me on the day that my daughter is to be married, and you ask me to do a podcast?
Wait, do you plan these out before we hit record? Or
yeah, I was
like, when the first scene of this movie, you were like, that's what I'm going to do.
It's called a cold open.
It wasn't a cold open, though, because we introduced the episode before.
No, we just said hello, horses.
Okay.
So then that would be our conversation.
Okay, but like, when you're watching
mm-hmm.
The Office, they don't say, this is The Office, before the cold open.
Well, but we have visual cues for that. It would just be jarring if...
You do the cold open even before we would do
the intro song.
The song.
If this was formatted in the way The Office was formatted, yes.
Or any type of thing that would have a cold open.
Podcasts always do the intro song first.
Yeah.
But I was tied between that or just going, bada bing!
That would have been better.
Really?
Yeah.
We're going to do another Italian movie.
Yeah, okay. So... we're doing Francis Ford...
doing Bram Stoker's Francis Ford Coppola's The Godfather.
1972 film. You've all heard of it because it's the movie that everyone's dad will say is the best movie of all time.
Mm-hmm. And every boy you regretfully had sex with in college.
Or even the ones that you don't regret having sex with will probably acknowledge that it's in the top 15. It's in the top 15.
Wait, I've got it. Francis Ford Coppola's, Mario Puzo's, The Godfather. Because it's also a book.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry I interrupted.
Even the ones you don't regret having sex with.
Okay, is that you? Are you trying to do so? Are you trying to save your own ass here?
No.
In college, were you like The Godfather's best movie?
No. You know, is it even more obnoxious to be like, Mulholland Drive, best movie ever made. Well, I wouldn't say that.
No.
I would just be like, Mulholland Drive is one of my favorites.
Here's the only way to be obnoxious about Mulholland Drive is if you are a coffee barista in Boulder, Colorado, and you're wearing a Silencio shirt, and then I say, hey, I really like your shirt, and then you go, do you even know what movie this is from?
That is
out of context, it's a horrible shirt.
That
I would have to know what movie it's from.
It's obnoxious. Yeah.
Also, women know what a David Lynch is. Thank you. I dare you to give just a synopsis.
So, The Godfather is a story about an Italian-American crime family in the 1940s and 50s in the general New York City, New Jersey area. There are some hang-ups with other families, and it's basically the fall of the current Don Vito Corleone, and the replacement of him by his youngest son, Michael Corleone, and simultaneously the corruption of Michael Corleone from being a good war hero into being a crime lord.
Good job.
Also,
I call him Mikey C.
In there, he has a wife who gets car bombed.
Okay, not part of the synopsis, more part of the plot.
I think that's really important.
What is your relationship with this movie?
So, this is one of those movies, much like Bill and Ted and Bill and Ted 2, where, sorry, not much like that at all. Let me start over.
No. No, continue on this.
I'll work that in. Because it's important. But that's not what the first
thing...
We should
lead with that.
It's not the first thing I wanted to say.
The Godfather to you is Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Okay, so I think The Godfather, to me and to most people, is the movie that your dad will be, like, watching... all the time, for some reason.
When he's not watching Nazi documentaries on the History
when
Channel.
When he's not watching Nazi documentaries, he's watching The Godfather. And it's always on TV on Thanksgiving or Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And much like Bill and Ted, mm-hmm. and Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what happens in the first one, and I don't know what happens in the second one. They're just the same movie to me.
Wow. That's not where I thought that was going with the Bill and Ted lean-in. Especially because...
There's two of them, they're always on TV, and they just bleed together.
We've documented the plot of Bill and Ted's
Although
Excellent Adventure now.
I will say, watching this now, I totally know the difference between Godfather and Godfather Part 2.
Congratulations.
I just thought I didn't.
Okay.
But I totally did. So the thing I just said...
Irrelevant.
Irrelevant.
Okay. This movie was always... People were always talking about The Godfather. You know, it's a classic. The Godfather. One of the best movies ever. Francis Ford Coppola. And I watched it in 2012. Like, the end of 2012. Because that's when the world was supposed to end. And I thought, I shouldn't...
December 12th, 2012?
Yeah. So I watched it, like, before then. And probably, like, the week before. And I was like, I shouldn't die not having... seen The Godfather. That'll be embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched it, and I thought, this movie is good.
Mm-hmm.
And that is my relationship with it.
Okay. I think I forgot to say that I knew the movie was good as well.
Okay.
Liked it?
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen the whole thing before.
Mm-hmm.
But probably only on TV, so instead of 3 hours, it's 6.5 hours.
That's honestly the way to watch it.
Yeah, because it's got to take all of Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm. So you don't have to talk to your family. Were you expecting horses in this film?
Yeah, because I'd seen it before, and the horse is pretty important.
Mm-hmm.
How about you?
Same. The horse head is pretty much the one thing I knew.
Well, you're too specific.
But that's it. Yeah, that was the thing I knew going into this movie.
No spoilers for The Godfather. I think everyone's probably seen it.
Probably, or knows at least about that part. Yeah, I wasn't expecting, when I watched it, every single time, I don't expect it to be so early in the movie.
Mm.
But...
You know what surprises me?
Hmm.
Every time I've seen this movie, is that the scene in the little rowboat out on the lake.
Okay, I zoned out for that.
It's not this movie.
Okay, good, because I was like, I didn't see
it. So it has to be part two.
Okay. They do that in The Sopranos, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that they're winking at The Godfather.
Unless I'm completely wrong and that's not a scene at all. But I think it's, like, common...
I think that's, like, the movie poster for the second, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, let me just go back on Yahoo really quick.
Sorry, we have all night.
And I'll just type in The Godfather 2, and I'll go to images. Okay, I'm not seeing... But that didn't definitely... Okay, so that did not happen in...
Oh, definitely did not happen.
Okay, that's kind of solid.
Yeah.
Oh, that's Robert De Niro.
He looks good.
He does look good.
He's good as hell.
Congrats, Robert Jr. You used to be hot once.
Mm.
Okay, yeah, I've never seen any other Godfather, though.
I will say that you've seen Godfather Part 2 on TV.
Mm-mm.
Hmm. I disagree.
I don't know what to tell you. I haven't seen it. So that's that. So I've heard Godfather 2 is... equally as good. I've heard Godfather 3 is shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just because, as a society, we hate children.
Well, if there is a woman that you can blame something being bad on,
mm-hmm.
you'll do it. So, I think every man who you regret having sex with in college,
mm-hmm.
who says that The Godfather is one of the greatest movies ever, will also tell you that The Godfather Part 3 is terrible, and it's because little child Sofia Coppola ruined it.
She had the ability.
Don't know how she could have done that.
She demanded rewrites. She changed all of the lines.
A total diva. Mm-hmm. She was just in her trailer the whole time. Have you seen her rider? It's like, I need orange juice, but it has to come from, it has to come from Mongolia.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, we deep dive into the plot.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
In the most succinct way possible, okay. I guess.
So, boom, boom, boom. It's 1945.
Bada bing, bada bing, you mean.
We open with an Italian man, Buonasera, talking to Don Vito Corleone about his daughter was brutally beaten in a car by some men. And he goes to the police, and the police do not serve proper justice.
They're like, they're just like doing really well on the swim team.
It's just a
Brock Turner shout out. Fuck you, Brock Turner.
It's a true Brock Turner situation, and they just go free. Not that I think like there's any real justice in putting people in prison, but right. I think that the cops could. Well, no, they're incapable of doing better, but someone should have done better here.
Here's the thing: is prison exists for Michael Bay and rapists.
Michael Bay, for sure.
And like, white-collar crime.
Mm-hmm. So, this man has gone to...
As in, that's not who goes there, but I will keep a special prison for that.
Mm-hmm. So, this man has gone to the Don Vito Corleone to have the man killed. Mm-hmm. And Don Corleone says that this man has not asked with respect. He goes to him on the day of his daughter's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked him to commit murder for money.
Now you do the voice.
You come to me.
That's good.
On the day.
Oh, you lost it.
Of, well, you're not encouraging
I'm
me.
I'm sorry.
If you're like, oh, you lost it.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Shh, cut that out.
So the man asks a little nicer, and the Don's like, yeah. But the thing is that...
a little nicer?
He just asks a little nicer.
He grovels and gives him kisses.
He kisses his ring. But then we later learn that it's just that a Sicilian can't refuse any request on the day of his daughter's wedding. So he has to do it. That's why all these people, throughout this whole wedding scene, we see people going to the Don and asking for favors.
Don.
And his cousin Dave.
Most importantly, is this entire time, well, this man is like...
There's a wedding going on.
5 minutes beating my daughter, attempted to sexually assault her. She'll never be beautiful again. They've beaten her so badly. He's just actively playing with the world's cutest kid.
It's like he's like an evil villain. Like,
nope, I would if it was like a perfect stroke, but the cat is just like,
oh yeah,
lolling around on his lap.
He is playing,
purring louder than the dialogue. Like they had to have put like catnip in his little like suit sleeve or something, because I've never seen such a happy cat in my life.
And the scene's like so long.
The whole wedding scene.
Okay, so we go outside to the wedding. There are deli meats everywhere.
Oh, the capicola.
Yeah, that's a good meat.
Have you ever had prosciutto wrapped around a cantaloupe?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's so good.
Yeah. We see that the FBI is outside writing down all the license plates that they see.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty funny.
We see Sonny loses temper over that.
Mm-hmm. Michael Corleone. So should we go through the characters? I think that'll be really helpful.
I think so, Tim.
Okay. So we got Don Vito Corleone. He is the head of the Corleone family.
Mm-hmm.
We have Fredo. He is the middle brother.
Mm-hmm.
We have Sonny, who is the oldest brother.
Played by James
Caan,
baby.
Michael Corleone, who is Al Pacino. He's the youngest brother. We have Tom Hagen, who is explained as their adopted brother. Mm-hmm. And the family's lawyer, and their kind of counsel. He gives advice to
consigliere.
Yeah. He is not Sicilian. He is German and Irish, as he says. We have Polly, who is the family's bodyguard. We have Connie, who is the sister.
Mm-hmm.
We have Luca Brasi.
Wait, you missed Johnny Fontaine for
Johnny godson. Fontaine is the godson. We have Clemenza, who is
God. You really got these names.
One of the he's involved in the crime shit. He does some murders.
Yeah.
We have Luca Brasi, who is also kind of the same thing.
He does the murders.
So I think that's all the core cast. We actually never really... We see Mama Corleone in one scene.
Oh, yeah.
In the wedding scene.
Mm-hmm.
Connie's husband, his name is Carlo.
Yes, Carlo.
That's pretty much it. Everyone else we'll get into as yeah. we go. But that's the core of it. Okay, so we're at the wedding. Michael and Kate show up for the wedding. Kate is like, just Michael's...
Kay.
Oh, sorry. I have it written down as Kate the whole time. Kay is she's kind of clueless about the whole mafia kind of stuff. So she learns a lot at the wedding. Johnny Fontaine shows up to the wedding. He sings a little song.
Mm-hmm.
We learned that his career was made by Don Vito Corleone because he made his previous band leader an offer that he couldn't refuse. Mm-hmm. He held a gun to his head mm-hmm. and said, "You're going to let this guy go make a career for himself for $1,000.
Or you're going to get the bada bing."
Exactly. That's how we learn about the crime. We already knew about the crime because of context. But Kay is from New Hampshire.
Kay is a mess.
She has no idea. She's all forehead.
Oh, Diane Keaton. They did her dirty in this movie.
Yeah, they really did.
Also, during this time, we're seeing, like, we're getting a really in-depth look at Vito's business.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, how he operates. So we have Buenos Aires,
mm-hmm.
and then also have possibly an unnamed man who his daughter's beau, is going to be giving the old Uncle Sam boot
out of
our country.
Right.
And which is like, they bring up that problem, and I'm like, I don't even know how you would solve this problem.
Well, they have political influence as well, which is, I think, really, like, that's part of what we're learning, mm-hmm. where he's like, oh, I'll just call a senator.
And for me, I was like, you really asked him for quite a task, but yeah, I think you're supposed to be like, and they can handle it.
Like, he can do a lot of stuff. Like, we get word that a senator has written to him directly and apologized for not being able to appear personally at his daughter's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he's...
And judges as well.
Yeah, what we're learning is that the whole mafia thing it has a big influence on all aspects of life.
Turns out crime does pay.
Crime does pay. And you know, it's not all just like, it's just like, not all just crime, but there's like extrajudicial justice kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It really
brings the microscope down on America and says, hey, America, what's the real crime?
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, I mean, the Buenos Aires goes to him because he sees that the American justice system, which he feels, you know, would serve him,
mm-hmm.
is not built to serve him
mm-hmm.
as an Italian-American,
mm-hmm.
you know? That it really just exists to serve the white man.
I think...
Which he is not in 1945. He's
yeah.
not white.
I think that brings up a good... I know we were like, we're not even going to slightly analyze this film, but I think it does. Jesus Christ. It was watched like a three-hour movie,
this is
so...
the first scene.
I know. But I think that's a really good point. Like, this movie takes a lot of measures to go through, like, give the details on these... Particularly out of, like, the three people who ask for favors during this wedding that we see, two of them it really goes through. Buenos Aires is going through, he's telling the audience, I did everything that you would think is right.
He's trying to behave like how he thinks Americans should behave,
mm-hmm.
and the results did not pan out the way he has always been told they should pan out.
Yeah, and he says... If you want justice, you go to Don Corleone. Then, the second person who comes in...
Importantly, though, Don Corleone says, you want me to kill the man. That's not justice. Your daughter is still alive.
Different views of justice.
Mm-hmm. But...
I mean, not like I'm advocating for murders of people, but I've got a...
Sometimes.
I've got a pretty thin temper for men who assault women. Mm-hmm. Then the second guy who comes in asking for a favor is talking about his daughter's beau, who fought in the war, mm-hmm. which is somebody that we should... I mean, our army is predominantly garbage, but we could probably get behind our troops in World War II, and a veteran is someone we should respect.
Mm-hmm.
And we've, like, the movie's making a point, or maybe not the movie, but initially the book was making a point of this is a person who deserves respect, but America kind of used.
I think what it's really getting at is, like, what the mafia was kind of for, and just, like, the root causes of why organized crime, like, began to exist, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or this kind of organized crime. It's really just that, like, these immigrants came to the United States thinking that they could make a better life for themselves, and it didn't really turn out that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so they turned to crime.
Yeah.
I mean, just like lots of people still do today.
Yes. It does a good job, I think, of creating very well-rounded characters. Because, so you have these two people who have, like, an actual desperate need. This is just, like, for their families. And then you have Luca Brasi come in, who is pretty much just praising Vito. So there's not much there. He's just nervous. It kind of shows how much power he has over people and that he's someone who should be respected. And then you have Johnny come in, who's just like, I'm not a big enough star. Do some crime and put me in a picture.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, here are the good things they do, but also they get involved in a little razzle-dazzle.
Mm-hmm.
A little fun crime.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sometimes you gotta do a movie crime.
Mm-hmm. So that Johnny Fontaine thing, his deal is that, you know, he is a singer right now, singer and an actor, and he needs to, he wants to be cast in this big war movie to really move his career along. And the studio director isn't having it. So he asks the Don to help out with this. That moves us to our next scene.
Mm-hmm.
Don Vito sends Tom Hagen to California to deal with this.
Mm-hmm. So Tom Hagen meets with Jack Waltz, who's the director. And this is where we just get the fucking, like, magician bag of racist remarks or little rotary.
I got something for everybody.
What do you want? Bam, 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 bam. He says a lot of racist things. It's pretty wild. But most importantly, he does not give Johnny the part.
Mm-mm.
And the director goes back to his ritzy Hollywood home.
Mm-hmm.
And then here at 30 minutes and 19 seconds, baby, what do we get?
We get a goddamn horse.
We get a fucking horse, baby. A racehorse. A black racehorse. It's got a sweet little white little dollop of fur on its forehead.
Mm-hmm. We're in a beautiful red cape.
Yep. Looking like a beautiful king.
It's apparently worth $600,000.
That's a lot of money. That's a
lot of fucking money. We get a second horse, too.
Get a background horse in the background.
Right there in the background.
That one was its body double, I think. Or, like, its understudy.
Mm-hmm. And this is a racehorse, right? The first one. But we learn that Mr. Waltz isn't going to use it for racing. He's just going to breed this horse. Just like, that's the horsey life.
I know. You're like, it's like a little orphan Annie situation. But if later Little Orphan, you found Little Orphan Annie's head in a bed. Because it's like, he is like, I'm going to take you in, horse. And you know what? You're not going to race anymore. You're going to fuck your way across America, baby. And the horse is like, oh, man, I've worked so hard and this is where I am now. Finally, the life for me.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't pan out that way.
Yeah, I feel like we don't really get into how the horse is the real victim here.
honestly, yeah, and it's like we see. Okay, here's my problem: is we see the head in the bed later. We'll get to it, but we don't see like any bullet hole. So was the horse alive while they just like sawed through its like 2 foot wide neck?
Maybe they cut the horse's throat.
That seems like a wild way to kill a horse.
I guess so. I mean, maybe they did. It's not like we really studied that horse head.
Counterpoint. Did they want...
Also, it was a fake horse head. This isn't a real horse head we see.
I wish that in the movie world it also wasn't real. They just got, like, a movie props guy to fool him. Counterpoint. Do you think that they wanted to bring the whole... They did a horse murder. Wanted to bring the whole horse into the bed with him and, like, wrap its horse arms around him so he would wake up and be like, what the... Ah! But then they were, like, trying to drag it up, and they were like, this horse is too goddamn heavy.
No, I think that the horse head was probably pretty heavy, too.
Wow.
And they thought that that was plenty.
How much that? I think 25 pounds.
I don't know, like, a horse head. The horse head's big. It's probably, like, a 70-pound head.
There's no way. It's 10 Malcolms.
I don't know. If you know how much a horse head weighs, tell us.
I don't know how, but yeah. So,
so now we, after we see the horses, we go to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Waltz is explaining that Johnny will not get the part because he ruined a rising female lead
mm-hmm.
that Mr. Waltz was grooming. And
yeah.
That I were meant to believe that he loved her, but really he disliked having sex with her.
I do feel like when he says this, though, I'm like, Johnny is the worst person. Worst person.
But I don't know, like, we just know that he ruined her. We don't know what that means.
Right. I was taking it as, like, here was this rising young star. He filled her full of drugs and semen. She got a drug addiction. She got pregnant. And he abandoned her.
That's good. I mean, maybe he had a fling with her. Hit her in the nose, and now she has a broken nose.
Mm.
And now she can't be this big Hollywood star.
Probably, though, what it was...
Because her face is ruined.
...is that Waltz was forcing her to have sex with him in exchange for good movie roles. And then Johnny was having sex with her, and then Waltz didn't want to have sex with her anymore.
That could be it, too. In which case, Johnny's fine, and Mr. Waltz is the monster. In the other cases... They're both just monsters.
Probably they are both just monsters.
Yeah, I mean, it was 1945. You can't expect a man to do anything good.
I never expect a man to do anything good.
Yeah.
So now we're 33 minutes in.
And we cut to the next scene, and Mr. Waltz wakes up the next morning from his beautiful slumber.
Mm-hmm.
He's covered in blood. And there's a fucking horse head in his bed.
Okay, I spelled mine out a little bit more.
Yeah.
I said, we have a slow zoom into Waltz's bedroom, right? We start from out in the courtyard. We go up the veranda into his bedroom. This man, snug asleep. He's got his satin sheets all tucked up to his ears. Then, ominous... foreboding music plays in the Italian style. He stirs in his bed a bit. Then the audience, we notice blood on his sheets. Then he notices blood on his sheets. He turns, what's this? Blood on my sheets? What could this be? Then he looks, he has blood on his hands. He rips his sheets away. Blood on his pajamas. He pulls the sheets back even further and there's a horse head in his bed. He cries out in agony and fear.
Yes. Yeah, if you woke up covered in blood, the last thing you would think is that there's a horse head in your bed.
Low-key, one time I did see a really funny tweet where somebody was, like, waking up after you started your period. It's a hyperbole, but it does make you go.
Okay, we're back in New York. I think it's Tom Hagen talking to...
all men look the same.
Don Vito. I think Sonny's there, too. About a man who was referred to as the Turk. who is in the narcotics business. Tom Hagen explains that if the Corleone family doesn't get into narcotics, then one of the five families, the mafia families, will.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Next scene, the Corleone family meets with the drug people.
That's what they're called.
The drug people. And Don Vito refuses their offer to get into business with them because he says the drug business is too dirty for the Corleones.
It's pretty dirty business.
Introducing the first major conflict of the film.
Yes. Well, yeah, I guess Michael being reluctant to join the mob family isn't a major conflict.
Mm-hmm. It's hardly a conflict at all because... It doesn't take a lot of pressure for him to just be like, "Shit, I'll murder some people." What? Like,
he really falls into it.
You just put a gun in the bathroom, I'll do it. If the gun's there, I'll do it. Just put the gun there.
The lame reason I haven't done this before is because anytime the gun wasn't there. Into a toilet tank, there was no gun.
I've been signaling to you guys for years. Anyway, now it's Christmas.
Now it's Christmas. Johnny got the part.
Perfect.
End movie. Michael is living his best non-mafia life with Kay. Like, it is Christmas. It is wholesome.
They're going on dates.
They're looking at Christmas trees.
They're going to see movies with Ingrid Bergman.
Oh my god. That was a triggering conversation. I just don't know what I would do if I was dating someone and they were like, and they would be like, "Would you be happier if I was Ingrid Bergman?" I'd be like, "Yes."
Mate. I've never met her, but maybe.
But if you were, when we got married, that would mean Isabella Rossellini would be my daughter, and I would love that. And then Luca's gearing up to have a meeting.
Yeah, so he goes and he has a meeting. It's a short meeting.
Yeah, that is what one can call it.
The Tattaglia. Tattaglia family is like, "Hey, would you want to come work for us for $50,000? And he's like.
For a whole.
He's like, "Yeah.
Gee, Mr. Barry Gordy, you want all my songs for a whole $20?
He's like, "Yeah, absolutely. It will take literally almost nothing. Not that $50,000 is nothing. But when you size the $50,000 versus the potential risk he's taking on.
Yeah, it's not enough money.
It's very silly." And he's like, "Yeah, absolutely. I will absolutely betray the Corleone family for $50,000. Is it that they'll kill me? Is that going to be a problem?" And they're like, "Oh, that won't be a problem because we're going to kill you right now." And then they do.
And he never gets that $50,000.
Yeah.
I think that the most hurtful thing about this is what I've been told about Luca Brasi is that he is very loyal to the family.
Yeah, but you offer him $50,000.
It was where I was like, "Luca, don't do it, man."
Maybe he just hasn't been getting enough compensation. If you want to keep your people, you got to pay them appropriately.
That's true, and I do feel like he feels like he was undervalued. But it's like, I don't know, Luca, you couldn't even remember your 2-sentence speech at the wedding.
Well, you know, maybe the fact that he's this intimidated by his boss, you know, really...
Oh my god, I always thought he was a big dum-dum.
Really speaks volumes, you
Holy
know.
Holy shit.
Like, does he not... He doesn't get to talk to his boss that often where he's, like, so nervous about saying, like, "Oh, thank you for inviting me to your daughter's wedding."
Oh my god.
Of course
god.
He's going to be invited. He's a freaking murderer. He murders for the family.
I feel like I need to take a look at
the mirror. If someone committed murders for you, you would invite them to your daughter's wedding.
I had such a different perspective on him where it's like, now I'm like, I'm capitalism's puppet. Because I was like, I just thought he's like a big lug, you know?
I mean, there's a reason, you know, that he doesn't run a mafia family of his own. You know, he doesn't have the tact.
But now a full-out mafia war has...
Right. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
So, the next scene, we go to... We see the Don Vito Corleone. And he says, "Merry Christmas, I want some fruit." Sollozzo is pissed at the Corleones for not getting involved in their drug business.
And he also hates fruit.
So these assholes, they shoot Vito Corleone at the fruit stand.
Well, they wanted was some Christmas fruit.
They shoot him like 6 times.
This is a character trait of him. This man loves fruit.
He loves fruit.
Like, we later see him, no spoilers, we later see him surrounded by tomatoes with an orange in his mouth.
So after they shoot the Don, Sollozzo meets with Tom Hagen to try to make peace between Sollozzo and the Corleones, and Tom's like, yeah, sure, I'll try. Next scene, Sonny wants Paulie dead because Paulie was supposed to be the bodyguard when Vito got shot. And in the same scene, they get a package with a dead fish. And this is supposed to mean to us that Luca Brasi is dead. He's sleeping with the fishes.
I said that they do some, like, Da Vinci Code, like,
it's like
piecing together.
Some free association.
Yeah. Fish. Dead fish. Fishes. Ocean. If someone was with the fishes, they would be dead. Luca Brasi loved sleeping. Sleeping with the fishes.
There's not enough there to make this happen. It's like, this movie's great, but they could have done better right here.
It's also like a waste of fish. They were really big fish.
Yeah.
And
one fish.
Two.
I guess it needs to be two, so you know it's the fishes.
The fishes. But technically, then, it needs to be two different species of fish.
Yeah, you're right. That's not how the word fish works.
Like, you have multiple fish when it's the same type.
But if you got a tuna and an albacore.
Now you have fishes.
Right.
So, also it's just like, I don't know, send a pillow and a fish hook.
Yeah.
Or just call them and be like, I literally murdered. I guess it's like the real insult is now you've burdened someone with two large fish.
What the fuck are they going to do with these fish?
That remind them of the death of their friend. You can't throw it away in your 1940s tiny trash can. Kitchen trash can, because the whole goddamn house is going to stink like fish.
You just throw it out the window. 1945 New York. Everything smells like fish, Emily.
Some guy's like, tanks, mister!
There's wax paper and dead fish everywhere.
And lead paint.
Yeah. So then Paulie gets killed, too.
Yes,
it's
he does.
It's not really that important. I think it's like, what's his name, gets out of the car to pee. Yeah. They're like in New Jersey or something.
Mm-mm. Statue of Liberty's right behind him.
Yeah, I know, but you know the Statue of Liberty is like 10 feet from New Jersey. Like, the state of New Jersey is...
You can see, you can be standing in New Jersey and see the Statue of Liberty.
Okay, you look at the border between New York and New Jersey through the little harbor there.
Okay.
It's like the Statue of Liberty, by all logic, should be in New Jersey.
So what you're saying is New Jersey's been robbed.
Yes, and I think that New Jerseyans will also tell you that the Statue of Liberty should be theirs.
So it's really Ellis Island that fucked us. The people of New Jersey. Me, you, and our best friend, Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think they're in New Jersey. And
okay. I just want to say for the record, I understand geographically where these states are. I just didn't know that there was an angle in New Jersey in which you could see the Statue of Liberty with that much clarity.
Yeah, I mean, Jersey City is, like, right there. You can.
I believe you. I want the people to know I know where New Jersey is.
And it's 2020, so no one knows where anything is anymore. I don't even know if New Jersey still exists.
All I know is that one time I came out of the bunker, and, like, I was like, did I go on a different planet? Because everyone was apes. And then I was just, like, walking. And then, like, the Statue of Liberty was on the ground.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, they tore it down! Or whatever he said. I think that this scene is important because the level of reasoning that Sonny goes through is dumb. There's no way his dad wasn't going to get shot in that situation.
Right, but somehow it's Polly's fault.
Right.
I mean, even who was there? I think Clemenza was there. And, you know, he was there to protect Don Vito, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it was Vito who was like, just hold a second, I'm going to buy some fruit.
And you're like, nothing wrong with a man buying some fruit.
Merry Christmas, I want some fruit. And
you're like, dude, this man needs his fruit fixed.
Like, you
what
can't protect someone when they're, like, out in the open at a fucking fruit stand.
Oh, listen. What they say about a fruit stand is...
He needed his Red Delicious.
Because fruit stands are like the Wild West. So they say, better look around. You're at a fruit stand, you know?
Yes,
and he didn't look around.
He didn't look around. Or around.
And now we see Kay and Michael drifting apart Michael feels this pull towards his family.
Right. She is so... She can take a lot of shit from Al Pacino.
Anyone
because
could.
Because she's like, when am I going to see you again? And he's like, just go back to New Hampshire. I'll call you.
That? Okay, listen.
And she's like, okay, sounds good. I'll call. Yeah, you'll just call me when I'm in New Hampshire. That sounds great.
I have two.
We're going to get married, right?
I have two thoughts to think in this moment. One, who could say no to short King Al Pacino when he flashes his Roman nose at you?
Yeah, he just has to like turn his head a little bit and be like, have you seen my side profile?
And you're like, I did, but I'm not ever going to be sick of it. Second, so I'm like, anyone would fall for these tricks. Second is... Are we going to pretend, like, Diane Keaton didn't have more options? Like, Diane Keaton should also be like, have you seen all of me? I'm Diane Keaton.
That's true.
I think what this movie does her disservice is she is not in a three-piece suit, which is where she truly shines.
Yeah. I think this movie, like, didn't want you to think Diane Keaton was beautiful. I don't know.
I also get... that sense from this movie, but it's like the movie's gaslighting me because I know Diane Keaton is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But she does shine in a more androgynous, mm-hmm. I guess not even necessarily androgynous, because if you like feminize men's clothing, that doesn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
When she is cosplaying David Bowie is when she truly shines.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so... Oh, by the way, Vito Corleone is not dead. So Michael goes to the hospital and sees that no one is there to protect his father. He talks to a nurse and he's like, listen, people are going to come here to kill my dad. We have to move him to another room. And she's like, for like a second. She's like, no, that's ridiculous.
And then he goes,
do that. And then he's like, but
have
you seen the side of my face? And she's like, oh, yeah, well, absolutely. You and me. I don't even know that you're his son, but we're going to move him to another room.
She goes, I'm sorry, somehow my water just broke. With that, you've impregnated me. I've come to full term. My water just broke. We can get this man wherever you
she
want.
She says, oh, I just felt my ovaries quiver.
I'm sorry, both of my ovaries just gave me the 1-2 punch.
So yeah, I will do... You came here to kill this guy, and we're going to do that right now.
We'll kill him together. And he's like, no.
We just have to move him. And she says, yeah, that's fine. We'll do that.
She says, move him like how I just felt the earth move under my feet.
My ovaries.
Oh. She just says, my ovaries.
And then Michael calls Sonny and is like, hey, there's nobody here. And Sonny's like, oh, yeah, we'll get somebody there. There's a guy named Enzo, not mm-hmm. that important. Michael goes outside and clearly the Tattaglia family,
mm-hmm.
I think, shows up to do some murder and they see that there are two people there.
There's some murder.
So they drive away. And then the cops show up and they freaking rough Michael up. Turns out the cops arrested the previous bodyguards who were there.
I'm sorry, it turns out the cops are... Crooked?
The crops are cooked.
Those cops crop. Headline. Those cops crops are cooked. Bada bing, those badges are burned, baby.
ACAB, by the way.
So,
this is your, what we say in every episode, your word of the day, ACAB.
The cops are going to arrest Michael, but Tom Hagen shows up and he's like, have you heard about the law?
And the cops,
are like,
literally,
not the law.
Oh boy, he got us with the law. Boss, we can't just punch and arrest this man for being an Italian. This is how cops talk. For an Italian American. They got a lawyer.
So, Sonny is pissed because Sonny's always pissed.
Well, in his defense, recently he was just, like, driving on an icy road and he got in a car crash and then this woman brought him into her home and then tied him up and said that she was his biggest fan.
You're thinking of the movie Misery, which happens, like, 30 years later.
My apologies.
And they kill Bruno Tattaglia. Then Michael's like, oh, you want to kill Salazzo and the police captain, McCluskey? Fuck, I'll do it. You put a gun literally anywhere and I'll kill these people.
I'll find it.
And they're like, Michael, you went to college, you're a war hero.
You don't know what a gun is.
You don't do this kind of stuff. And Michael's like,
I killed 40 people.
Yeah, but it will take no convincing for me to do it. And they're like, that sounds great. You're the best person for the job. There's a lot of nonsense that happens. Like, they don't know which restaurant they're going to. It looks like they're going to go to New Jersey, and then they make a quick turnaround. They go to the right restaurant. There's a gun in the bathroom. Michael, boom, boom, boom. Everybody, I think, knows the deal. Everyone's seen this scene.
Right? Michael shoots them.
Michael shoots the Salazzo and McCluskey.
Yeah.
He shoots McCluskey in the throat first. Looks like a real bad job. And then shoots him in the head. He's a little nervous, but he drops the gun and he just walks away like he was told to. Don Vito's fine, by the way. He returns home in the next scene.
He goes, where's Michael?
And then he's very upset when Tom is like, Michael did the murder.
He did some murder.
He did a little bit of murder.
Some would call it a double homicide.
You might call it a double homicide, but because it's just like everyone's used to doing crime, it's...
We call it a bada big murder.
It's the bada boom, bada bing.
I apologize.
Yeah.
We say that he just booked his Beppo, times two.
He put a friggin' buka in both of their skulls.
Do a boopa, am I right?
Yeah, two bukas. Buka.
Why is the restaurant named that?
Buka de Beppo, Beppo's hole.
Do you think, okay, here's my problem. Is how do we live in a society in which Sioux Plantation cannot survive the pandemic? The Buka de Beppo, a society in which everyone hovers over one plate, survives.
You just reminded me that Sioux Plantation is gone. And it's like, I was looking forward to a few things.
And Sioux Plantation was one of them.
I would love to go back, actually. No, I would never go back to a buffet.
They have a sneeze guard.
It doesn't matter. Like, you go and get your focaccia. Everyone's touched that focaccia.
No! No one's touched.
Listen, when I go get my focaccia, I run my hand over the whole...
Well, you're a bad person. You deserve to get Beppo'd in your buka.
I sit there with, like, my finger on my tongue, like, I wonder what focaccia I want. And then I touch all of them, and I'm like, which focaccia feels the best against my hand? What scene are we at?
Where are we?
What
movie are we watching?
Oh, because Michael did the murder.
Oh, Michael's in Sicily.
Michael did the murder. Don Vito is upset that his youngest son got involved in the crime world.
He didn't want him.
Because you can't undo murdering people. You know, once you did a murder, like...
Yeah.
I mean, you can be rehabilitated to, like, to not do murders.
It's like, have you ever seen Pet Sematary?
In the future. But, I mean, like, you're always going to carry that around.
In Pet Sematary, you could literally undo a murder.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess they just need a pet cemetery.
Yeah.
But maybe not for the cop.
No.
So they send Michael to Sicily. He's in Sicily in hiding. boom, boom, boom. He wants to go to Corleone, which is the town of his namesake in Sicily. And he's walking there, and we get a horse at boom, 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 1 hour, 38 minutes, and 31 seconds.
Oh, man, we're halfway through this movie.
Yeah. We're doing pretty well. It's a small brown horse on the road.
You really gotta look for it. It's in the background.
You know, I can't guarantee it's not a donkey.
It had a mad horse in it. It definitely was not a donkey. It could have been a mule.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think a grown man would be, like, proportionally on a mule that way.
It could have also been a pony.
No, it was too big. But this is, like, the kind of work we do here at Hello Horses, is we're like, there's a horse in The Godfather, and you're like, yeah, we all fucking know about the horse. You didn't know about this horse.
That's true. We weren't even expecting the horse.
We keep an eye out.
Yeah. Michael and his, oh, by the way, he has bodyguards in Sicily, because even when you go to, like, across an ocean, you're not necessarily safe, because, you know, the other crime families, they also have family in Sicily. They're all from Sicily.
They're all from Sicily.
Michael meets Apollonia.
His child bride.
His child bride, who is described by his friends as more Greek than Italian.
And they say it, and then you go, yeah.
You're like, okay. They talk to this man in Corleone, and they're like, hey, you know about this girl who's like, she's maybe like 14 or 15. Super hot.
They're like, awooga!
She's like real young. And it just makes you go like a, you know, the sound a train makes.
You ever hear a train before, baby?
And this guy,
that's the sound my penis made when I looked at this child.
It was like a steam whistle.
And then the dad is like, I'm going to stab you in the knee.
Then the dad gets up and he leaves. And then Michael's like, I'm sorry if I offended you. He talks like this now.
Yeah.
He says, I'm sorry if I offended you. I'm a stranger in this country.
I didn't know you couldn't say, hey, you know your child daughter? I just want to take her chest and go, you know what I mean?
And then the dad's like, yeah, come over to my house for dinner.
But don't do that to her.
Don't do that yet. First, you have to go on, like, nice chaperone walks with her.
I do love, it's, like, cute watching him court her, though, and the whole family.
Right, like, all, yeah. And then also his bodyguards are in the back.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really fun. Then we cut back between New York and Sicily a few times here. After the whole Apollonia thing, we go back to New York, and we find out that Connie's husband, Carlo, has hit her.
Like a lot.
Sonny finds out about this, and Connie is primarily concerned that Sonny is going to have Carlo murdered. And Sonny's like, why would I do that? Am I going to leave my pregnant sister without a husband?
Because she is pregnant.
She's pregnant. And she's like, that makes a lot of sense that you know, you're my brother and you care about me and you wouldn't leave my baby without a dad.
It makes sense that everyone would think, listen, I'm just going to beat the living shit out of him one time and he'll stop being a little fuck.
So Sonny just, like, kicks this dude's ass in the street. He hits him with a trash can lid.
Oh, it's great.
He does, yeah.
Like a real Oscar the Grouch trash can lid.
He kicks his ass. And you're like, yeah, I mean, he's not going to hit her again, because
he got humiliated in front of all those children playing in the fire hydrant water.
Because he knows that if he pulls any kind of shit, like, the crime family is going to have him killed.
Yeah. Like, that was the warning.
That's the warning. And when you get a warning from the mafia, you don't, like, push your luck.
That was his proverbial horse head, if you will.
It was like a horse head, but instead he got his ass kicked. Now we go back to Sicily, and Michael marries Apollonia.
His child bride.
I don't think we have to talk really about the scene where it's presumed that they have sex for the first time.
It's presumed.
Well, I mean, we don't see.
She just whips out her boobies and he holds her, and
he goes,
you're too young.
You're too young. We're going to wait until we get double married.
We're gonna wait 2 more years. I just need to, like, lock you down.
Okay, and then literally the next scene, we go back to New York, and Carlo's being a dick, Connie breaks some plates, and then Carlo hits her again.
He beats the shit out of her here.
Sonny's pissed the fuck off, and then Sonny gets in the car, he's driving,
mm-hmm.
and this is when Sonny gets murdered at the toll booth.
I hate it. I don't like to see James Caan die. I only love to see him embrace the Christmas spirit.
Yeah, that's good when he does that. He really doesn't embrace the Christmas spirit in this movie enough.
You know? And I think that's why, that's really when Mary Steenburgen was like...
It's really during the Christmas season that he starts all of his murders.
Hey, does Misery also... Misery also takes place during Christmas. Is James Caan technically only in Christmas films?
Yeah, he has a contract with MGM Studios that says, only put me in Christmas movies.
I respect that.
I don't think this is MGM.
So now we're like, okay, how did Sonny die?
Because
what the hell?
Who knew where he was going to be and who tipped off this murder?
Who knew but where to bada his bing?
I will say that James Caan is really great at being shot.
He literally ripped open the car door and was like, shoot me better, you fucks!
He gets out of the car and he says, stop shooting me!
Oh, I took it as, you think that's enough bullets? Give me more, baby!
He's like, the car is where you have the most protection from the bullets.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, ah, I'm being shot. And it's like if there were bees in the car.
Always get out if there's bees in the car.
He's like, ah, there's bees in this car. I'm getting shot in the car. I have to get out and then it'll stop. But it doesn't stop when he gets out because there's less shielding.
That's factual.
And he gets shot a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
I would say... He gets shot at least, you know, they sent like 6 guys to come kill James Caan.
Yeah.
He only needed one.
Yeah. One Tommy gun will usually do the trick.
They really, really, really shot him. As Vito Corleone says, they massacred his boy.
They say, damn, it really filled my boy full of lead.
He doesn't say that.
I think he does. I need a beer.
Okay. Can you get me one?
Yeah.
Okay, so we just know that Sonny just got killed.
Mm-hmm.
And now this is the point where Don Vito goes back to Bonacera, who we saw in the first scene, to call him in for a favor.
Here's the favor.
That favor is to... He owns a funeral parlor.
Yes.
He wants to make Sonny look nice for the funeral.
That seems really sad.
Look how they massacred my boy.
That's good. That was good. That scene is really sad. Like, I just want a hot take. This is a good fucking movie. Because it has moments like that, and you're like, this old-ass man is going to make me cry.
You know, I think there's not really any point where I feel that, like, the Corleone family is bad for the things they do.
I think something that draws people to... mafia storylines is the fascination with this is not just meaningless crime, but they have a firm set of codes and a firm set of rules, and murder is done when like negotiation is completely out, except for a few when people act inappropriately, like Sonny killing Polly.
Right, yeah. They're like, there's a code, and that's part of what, like, Sonny really breaches that code.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Tom Hagen is there to tell him, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
like, you're, like, I'm here to give you advice, and this is not the kind of shit that we do. But, like, you see the code, like, this, one of the central conflicts is that the Corleone family doesn't want to get involved in dealing heroin,
mm-hmm.
because they don't, although he says, you know, Vito says, like, you know, I have no problem with the way another man makes his living. So he doesn't necessarily have a problem with heroin, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to get involved in it because it's messy. But one of their big things is they don't want, they don't want to introduce drugs to children. They're like, we got to keep it away from kids. We got to keep it away from the schools.
Mm-hmm.
There's some racism involved there where later on one of the other crime guys is like, we'll just give it to black people because, you know, like,
Because my friend Richard Nixon called me and he told me to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So.
They are racist.
Yeah. Oh, they're. So, next scene, we're back in Sicily. Michael is teaching Apollonia to drive. He says, well, it would be easier to teach you English. And she says, I know English. It's a Monday, a Tuesday, a Thursday, a Wednesday, a Friday, a Sunday, a Saturday. Perfect. That's all the English you ever need to know. Michael finds out that Sonny is dead and he has to go back to New York. So they prepare to go back to New York. And he's packing his bags and he goes out and he sees Apollonia in the car. She is like, hey, just look, I'm in the car. And then he's like, he talks to this guy, who I think was one of his bodyguards, and he's like, hey, guy.
It's Fabrizio.
Fabrizio. And then Fabrizio's like, I did some shit, it's bad, and I gotta leave. And
he does a real, hello, my darling, hello, my baby, hello, my ragtime.
And Michael's like, hey, Fabrizio. Why are you walking away so suspiciously? And
why are you giving me a look of my wife is about to die in the next 30 seconds?
Because you put a car bomb in the car. And then he's like, I'm going to run away, Michael. And then Michael's like, oh, because of the car bomb? And then
he says, yeah.
And he's like, yeah, because of the car bomb.
He says, Michael's see.
Like, Michael's like, Apollonia, don't start the car. But she's, like, really excited to show him that she can drive.
Mm-hmm.
And then she dies.
She says, I would rather die than not drive this car.
Yeah.
And then she dies.
And
then she dies.
And it's very sad.
It's sad because she was 16.
Because, listen, Michael still has a bruise under his eye from when this cop hit him. In the time since he was hit by a cop, he's gone to Sicily,
mm-hmm.
met a girl, married her, taught her how to drive,
mm-hmm.
learned that his brother died, decided mm-hmm. to go back to the United States. Someone planted a car bomb in the car, and then mm-hmm. she died, and the bruise is still there.
Was it like sweeps week on a soap opera?
Is this a month? Is this 3 weeks? Like... Maybe the bone right here was broken, so it was like...
I would think because of the swelling.
So maybe 6 weeks?
Ooh, 6 weeks, I think at a max, yeah.
Yeah, a lot happened, but he ruined... him coming to Sicily
mm-hmm.
made her die. Not really his fault, I don't want to say it's his fault. But
just, it still did make her die.
Just the fucking... sweeping wave over the Corleone family, took her life and ruined her family.
This man blew into Sicily and said, hey, I'm going to pick a family and destroy it.
Yeah.
Here's where I'm at, though. Couple thoughts. One is I'll forgive him for the quickness of the marriage because it's 1940s in Sicily. So we're told this is like a very old school. Yeah, he wanted to get that DW'd. But this was, like, an old-school family, so anytime they're hanging out, this is, like, courting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he can't really, like, be playing the field. Every hangout is just, like, with intention to marry at that point. And then, but also, it's, like, Fabrizio is the worst murderer I've ever seen. He put a car bomb in the car. He knew the person he was trying to kill
was not in.
So,
well, I wonder, because the, like, this was clearly on orders from the Tattaglia family, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if they really cared to murder Michael or if they wanted to just, you know, like, show some brawn.
Here's where...
Like, they didn't care who they killed. They wanted it to matter to the Corleone family.
Here's where I'm at, is,
I mean, they didn't
Sonny was already dead.
They didn't think that the car was going to start until Michael, you know, turned the key. So, they thought...
That's what they thought.
They certainly thought they were
going to Fabrizio.
Yeah.
She was in the driver's seat, and Fabrizio was like, what if I did a whole car
bomb? Listen, he's living in... This is like you can't order a murder transatlantic. Like you have to tell, you have to give the person instructions.
It's like in Morse code, and they're just like, I don't even.
It's yeah. He heard put a bomb on the car, he did what he was told, and then he scurried away.
Yeah. I'm just saying he's bad at his job, and I think that's fair.
I just feel like the stakes are a little lower. It's a slower lifestyle. This Italian family called him, and they're like, hey, can you do a murder? And he's like, you mean like in 3 years? And they're like, no, tomorrow. And he's like, I have to get a lot of shit
together. He's like, listen, I have 70 brunches I need to take, 40 different vacations.
Yeah.
And he's like, and listen, us Mediterranean men, you can't keep us inside. Everyone was like, I'm not sure what that means. And it might be racist.
Yeah.
And you're like, is it because the weather's nice? That's the only thing I could think it means. Okay.
Next scene. We're at a meeting with the five families because Don Corleone wants this war to end now.
Have you noticed it's always the five families?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's five boroughs. There's got to be five families.
But what borough do they run?
Let's not get into who runs what borough. No, I don't think it's like a family per borough, because I think one of the families is a New Jersey family.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Sopranos were a New Jersey
family. And I feel like there's just not a crime family in Staten Island.
Why, you don't think Staten Island does crime?
Oh, they do. Wu-Tang's from Staten Island.
That's not crime.
Well, rapping's not a crime, but everything they talk about doing is crime.
What in the footloose is that? Rapping is not a crime. Yeah, ever since the dawn of time.
You're correct that being in the Wu-Tang Clan, not a crime.
I wish it was.
If that were the case, almost everybody would be a criminal.
I think, yes. What I thought you were saying is, them selling a golden record was a crime. or selling it to Martin Scorsese was a crime. You know?
Yeah.
I think that if Martin Scorsese buys an album of yours, you are complicit in a crime.
Okay. So at this meeting with the five families, they basically decide to allow the drug business, but they want to control it, keep it out of the schools, keep it away from the children. Michael comes back to New York. He sees Kay. She's like, how long you've been back? He's like, I don't know, like a year plus or minus 6 years. It's hard to say.
They're actively 60 years old.
I'm working for my father now, the crime stuff. You want to get married? And she's like, oh, hell yeah. I want to get married.
He flashes that side profile. She's like, okay, I'm in.
Yeah. Michael is like basically the de facto head of the family now.
Mm-hmm.
He sends...
Vito's semi-retired.
He's semi-retired. He's
You can tell because he's like in flannel button-ups and cardigans.
Oh, yeah. He shows up to the meetings like in a cardigan. Everyone else is wearing a three-piece suit.
Actively drinking chamomile tea.
Yeah. He's like... it's been a rough life.
He's just, like, knitting coasters now.
Michael sends Tom Hagen off to be their lawyer in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that's the next thing I wrote is that Vito shows up to these meetings in cardigans now. Michael goes to Vegas. His brother Fredo greets him. There's girls there. There's a band there.
I will say the kindest thing this movie did to us is... take us to Las Vegas and not do that goddamn pan over of Las Vegas that we always see with, like, the sign and the traffic sped up and then the camera goes to the strip and then, like, Frank Sinatra plays and is like, and we're in Las Vegas, yeah, baby.
I am grateful that we see almost nothing of Las Vegas.
If I see Las Vegas one more fucking time.
Michael's a little pissed off about, like, the party that he's greeted with because he's just trying to do business.
And his wife is dead.
His wife, well, only the first wife.
His child bride is dead.
Yeah.
Now he has to date this adult woman.
Hey, Johnny Fontaine's there.
Bada bing.
Uh-huh.
His name should be Joey Fontaine.
Oh my god, you're right. But Michael's whole business there is that he wants to buy the casino from Mo Green. Mo Green, he's not having it, but you know, Michael's gonna make him an offer you can't refuse. As they do. It usually means the gun to the head.
That is an offer one cannot refuse.
Michael and Kay have a kid. He's like 3 years old. Don't know where this kid came from.
Her vagina.
Well, clearly.
Daniel. Do we need to have a talk?
It's just to show you the time passed, but we didn't see any of the, like...
It just seems like you're confused on where the kid came from.
Listen, if you... We haven't even... I don't know how the kid was made because I didn't get to see it.
Yeah, this movie was real gung-ho on showing us some 16-year-old boobies, but when an adult have sex...
You get Diane Keaton in there, they're not interested. Diane Keaton, the only thing we know, big forehead. Not interested.
They're like, listen, all you need to know about the sex is that she has a kid now, so they probably had sex.
Probably. Michael's talking to his father. His father's like, hey, whoever brings up a meeting with Barzini is the traitor. Next scene, we get Vito Corleone playing with little Anthony.
Oh, that's his grandson.
In the garden. And they're playing, they're shooting the water gun at the plants. They're like, rawr, with the vampire things.
Mm-hmm. And he put like an orange in his mouth.
Mm-hmm. And then Don Vito has a heart attack and he dies.
Or a stroke.
Could be a stroke. Next scene, we're at the funeral. And Tessio is like, hey, Barzini wants to meet with you in Brooklyn. So Michael's like, oh, so Tessio, you're the traitor. He doesn't say that, but he thinks it. He's like, okay, I'm going to do this meeting, but first I'm going to go become the godfather to Connie's new baby.
Do you get it? He's like, he's the godfather.
The godfather.
And then, like, he's the godfather.
And boom, 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 during this whole thing where he says that he renounces Satan, it's assassination time, baby.
It's like Satan time.
All the heads of the five families mm-hmm. are assassinated, plus Mo Green in Las Vegas.
They get the Beppos and their Bukas.
Tessio also executed for being the traitor.
He gets Beckett, baby.
Carlo confesses to setting up Sonny's murder.
And everyone was like, clearly.
Michael is like, hey, we're going to send you, Carlo, to Las Vegas, and you never get to come back.
Get to live in Las Vegas forever.
A fate worse than death.
Mm-hmm.
But then on his way to the airport, Carlo is strangled by, what's his name, Clemenza?
Yeah.
And that's the movie.
No. Then Connie comes in and says, you murdered my husband, you son of a bitch, and you are our son's godfather, you bastard. And then... Diane Keaton says, hey.
Did you? And he's like, I'm going to let you ask me about my business one time. And she's like, okay, I'm asking you if you murdered Carlo. And he's like, no.
Yeah. And she's like, you have this moment. She's like, okay, I feel good. And then, like, the families come to, like, greet him as the new Don. And then the door closes on her. And you're like, fuck. That's some good cinematography. Mm-hmm. That's a good fucking ending scene.
It's great.
That conveys so much in one shot.
You know, if Francis Ford Coppola really made a movie here, he really made the movie.
Listen, it's not Francis Ford Coppola.
Oh, it's Godfather Part 2, where Diane Keaton tells Michael that she had their baby aborted, that she didn't have a miscarriage, and he...
Oh my god, I think I have seen Godfather 2.
You've seen it! Okay, so we did The Godfather, something that we probably should not have done.
Listen, all I know is I don't even give a shit. It's probably our worst episode, and we did it. And may I remind everyone, it's free content. So, which horse was your favorite?
The horse in Sicily, that we're not quite sure is a horse.
I think it was a horse.
That's my favorite. You know, no, sorry. I have to pay my respects to the horse that had his head cut off.
May it rest in peace.
Because that's sad. Yeah, that horse, my favorite. Really the star of the horse show, but it was done dirty.
It was done dirty. I don't know if it was my favorite. It gives me, like, major, like, My Name is Brock vibes.
Yeah.
Like, this is the horse that gets to fuck its way across America. So I'm going to say horse that was behind that horse in the stables.
Okay.
Were you happy with the amount of horses?
Oh, yeah. There were plenty of horses.
And we got a surprise horse.
Yeah. I mean, three horses in a three-hour movie. Perfect.
One horse per hour, baby. How would you measure the horse that you love best in Hands?
Oh, I mean, it had big horse energy, 15 Hands.
I mean, you mind 15 Hands, too. It was like, it was behind the one that got to fuck its way across America, and it was still so comfortable in its own skin. Mm-hmm. So we have a 15 Hands. Mm-hmm. And Daniel, do you give this movie a yay or a nay?
I mean, I do. It's a good movie. It's a yay.
I'm going to give this movie a nay.
No, you're not. That's stupid. That's fucking stupid.
Could you imagine? No, it's a yay. You should watch it.
Yeah.
Hot take. You should watch The Godfather.
I think everyone's seen it.
If you haven't seen it because you're a baby, you should watch it, but spoiler alarm, there are baby boobs.
And oh, yeah.
There is a lot of violence against women.
You know, is there a lot? There's like...
Use the word a lot.
They, it benefits, strangely, from not showing a lot of women, because if there were more, there would be so much more violence towards women.
Yeah. Sonny, weirdly not violent to women, though. He's just cheating on his wife.
So, yeah.
That's the podcast.
Yeah.
Get the hell out of here.
Get the hell out of here. That's the fucking Godfather. Go listen to any other podcast about the fucking Godfather. It's better.